from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
I think understanding where I'm at, who I am, and you know who surrounds me, whether it's my teammates, my family, you know, the coaches and things like that, and understanding the work that I have to put in to be where I want to be, I think those are the most important things and the things that I think understand or have a certain grasp on to be able to, you know, be in a position I'm in and handle things I need to handle.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Beautiful Friday morning in the city of Chicago. The Bears finished the preseason 4-0, first time since 1994. They have done that after beating the Kansas City Chiefs. You heard Caleb Williams on the Fox broadcast with Adam Amin, Jim Miller, Luke Kanellis. Great broadcast for Bears fans. Caleb Williams talking about this preseason, talking about anything that pertains to what's ahead for him. A lot of people think that greatness is ahead for him. I'm one of those people. Not everybody agrees, and that's great. That creates tremendous sports debate and conversation. You don't want everyone to agree on everything because that is ridiculous. Nobody's ever going to do that. Speaking of ridiculous, no, that's a bad segue. In fairness, Sean King is one of those guys who doesn't necessarily believe that Caleb Williams has had the greatest preseason. Sean King is a former NFL quarterback. In full context, we've referred to snippets of what he has said. I want to hear a two-minute chunk here so you get an idea about the other side of it. It's best when you're having a debate to respect the other side's opinion and to let it be heard as much as possible because you want to consider both sides of the argument. It makes yours stronger. So in that context, Sean King joined the Bernstein Holmes show on Thursday, along with Layla Rahimi. They're in Vegas. He is too. And this is what he had to say about Caleb Williams.
How do you even evaluate what a quarterback is doing in preseason? Like, what matters to you?
So for me, all I'm looking for are little idiosyncrasies that the casual fan has no idea this transpiring. The first thing I want to see is how calm are they when it becomes chaotic? Does it look like they're able to go through the progressions within the structure of the pocket and deliver the ball accurately? That's the first thing I'm looking for, because sustainable quarterback play starts there. And if I see that, then I look at, do they have other elite traits? And this is where you get to Caleb, who I'm assuming we're going to talk about a lot.
I think he struggles
really, really badly with that first concept that I'm looking to see, but he excels at the elite trait part, if that makes sense.
Can you give an example of what you're seeing out of, like, maybe the struggle? It doesn't have to be super specific, but just illustrate.
I had Jaden Daniels rated as number one quarterback in this draft. Go look at Jaden Daniels' preseason tape and then look at Caleb Williams. Everything Jaden does so far has been within the structure of the offense for the most part. Yet we know he has the same elite abilities that Caleb does. Fast forward, when you look at the Bears, Caleb seems to still be struggling throwing the ball on time in rhythm. And his spectacular plays are because of his spectacular talent. So I made an analogy the other day. I was hosting on The Odd Couple on Fox Sports for I was filling in for Chris Broussard. It was me and Rob Parker. Caleb Williams reminds me of Anthony Edwards. Think about Anthony Edwards as a rookie. All he really could do is dunk. He was magnificent. Now, he was on the highlights all the time, but all he can really do is dunk. Now look at him, fast forward to now. He's a part of the Olympic team. He's a well-rounded player. He's considered one of the top 10 players in the world with the potential to be the best. I think that's what Caleb's career arc is going to look like as well.
That was Sean King on the Midday Show Thursday talking about Caleb Williams, comparing him to Anthony Edwards, NBA player compared to an NFL quarterback. Interesting. I know what he's trying to say. I know what he was also saying about Caleb Williams. The in-time, on-rhythm passes haven't been there in preseason. It also has been 43 snaps. What has people excited, speaking for myself, but I think that I'm also reflecting what I have heard from people in the fan base with which I'm very familiar. What people are excited about is Caleb Williams' ability to do more with less when plays break down, to go off script, to improvise. That is the comparison to Justin Fields. I get that. The improvisational skills, the explosiveness. Justin Fields created that with his feet and his legs. Justin Fields did that as a runner. Caleb Williams will do that as a thrower, as a passer. Buying time to look down the field, keeping the eyes up, doing what the great quarterbacks do. I don't think we've seen enough of him in the pocket so he'd be able to be on time in rhythm. He has that in his arsenal. We've seen that in his tape from USC in Oklahoma. You have professionals who do this for a living issuing superlatives left and right about his ability to do what Sean King is doubting he can do. It's fair. It's an opinion from a former NFL quarterback. It's just one that I think has been overstated for reasons that I don't want to speculate why. I don't know the past. I don't know. Maybe he's trying to justify ranking Jaden Daniels ahead of Caleb Williams in the pre-draft process. I think Jaden Daniels is going to have an outstanding rookie year. Both things can be true. Jaden Daniels can be a tremendous rookie for the Washington Commanders. And Caleb Williams can be the quarterback the Bears have never had. Bo Nix is going to have a pretty good start to a career in Denver. You're going to see Drake May eventually be the starter in New England. There could be four starting rookie quarterbacks in the NFL this year. That's the way the league is trending. Are they all ready? Probably not. But you've got to start early. You give them the keys earlier than ever. There are a lot of reasons why. What I've seen from Caleb Williams justifies that decision in Chicago and makes Bears fans understandably psyched. This is an exciting preseason. We have to consider all opinions, but there's no reason to dampen your enthusiasm. Things are going well. You've got your guy. 16 days away from seeing it. Let's go to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Don is on the west side. Good morning, Don. Welcome to Mullen Haw.
Good morning. How you doing, Haw?
Doing all right.
All right, yeah. So I just wanted to say, yeah, man, I agree that he overstated something that's, you know, it's like getting blood from a turnip. He's like, you know, he's a rookie. You know, it's not like he's not seeing it. Perfect example, it was a local broadcast. Jim Miller pointed out on that play to Cole Kmet that he had an underneath route that was open. Instead, he chose the big play hunt. That's going to get him in trouble in the field because it may get him hit, may get him hurt, who knows. But it's not like he's not seeing it. So, and then the whole Anthony Edwards comparison, calling him a one-trick pony. So meatball fan Don, Chicago West Side, is going to ask you, Sean King, then just by him being a dual threat makes him more than just a one-trick pony, you know. So, I mean, I don't take it offensive, but I mean, it don't sound right to me. But okay. All right.
Don, respect where you're coming from. Good points. Appreciate it. You're a regular caller. We know you're an astute football fan. And I think that raised some good questions. Let's go to Tony, who is in Joliet. Tony, welcome to Mullen Haw.
Hey, buddy. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I just want to say this to Sean King. Couple points. First off, with all due respect, 90% of people under the age of 40 wouldn't even know what team you played for. He wanted to comp him to Edwards. Well, let's make a better comp. I think the perfect comp, let's do Caitlin Clark. You know, when she first came in the league, WNBA players saying, oh, all she can do is hit the three. All she can do. They were a little jealous. They didn't make the money. They didn't have the ability. And I think, you know, Mr. King, I know when you go negative, you get a lot of reaction. But if you did your job better, you wouldn't have to go negative. I'll hang up and listen to your thoughts. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, you're certainly going to get more attention if you offer a contrary point of view. I don't know Sean King well enough to know if this is on brand for him. It probably is, but that's okay. You don't have to agree with everyone in Chicago. He's offering something to keep an eye on. And I think we can keep an eye on it reasonably. It doesn't sway me from thinking that Caleb Williams is any less ready for his close-up than I thought before he spoke. It's good to have differing opinions. It's good to consider both sides of every argument. I also think that the first time you see Caleb Williams throw for 350 yards and three touchdowns with an interception, maybe against the Titans, maybe against the Texans, it's going to happen. You're going to be like, remember that guy who said he couldn't throw in time on rhythm? And he just marched the team down the field with a 11-play drive and converted four third downs, and he never left the pocket. That's going to happen too. He's going to have a variety of ways that he makes you say, wow. This is the wow guy. He's arrived. I'll wear it. I'm not the only one in town saying Caleb Williams is going to be great. But he's going to be great. And I think when you see somebody on the football field demonstrate the poise and the precision and the ability that he has, it's okay to get a little carried away. My goodness, we're in Chicago. You've not seen a quarterback like this. It's okay to get a little carried away. And Caleb Williams so far, the best way that I could put it when I tried to explain this on the Take the North podcast with Dan Wiederer, there's nothing that I have seen yet that makes you say, There's nothing that I've heard yet that has made me cringe. There's nothing to really complain about yet, which is why I think the words from a guy who's out of town watching the Bears, that they maybe stood out, because we really haven't heard much criticism of Caleb Williams. There hasn't been much not to like. Everything has been mostly positive. Maybe that's our fault, but I don't think that you want to create something that you don't see just for the sake of creating something.
David, I don't know if you've noticed this as well, but I remember Merrill Hodge when he hopped on with Mark Grody before the draft, and he was somebody who was critical of Caleb Williams as well. But even he jumps back to, well, he's extraordinarily talented. He's really great at this thing, which is a huge part of being a successful quarterback in the NFL. But does it strike you like it strikes me that even the detractors like Sean King here are comparing him to Anthony Edwards, like the best young basketball player in the NBA?
Anthony Edwards is a pretty talented guy. Anthony Edwards is going to have a career that I think he can be very proud of and is going to say that he is a perennial all-star. Yeah, I think you'd take that. You take the football equivalent of Anthony Edwards at this stage of their respective careers. You asked the question on Twitter about, will he be as good as Russell Wilson? Russell Wilson has a Super Bowl. Russell Wilson has a lot of Pro Bowls he appeared in. People cringe at Russell Wilson because Russell Wilson says and does things that make you kind of uncomfortable. But as a quarterback, he was a winning quarterback early in his career, immediately in his career. As a rookie, he was an impact player. Caleb Williams is going to be an impact player. The reason that people believe the Bears are a playoff caliber team, likely to win more than they lose? Okay, yeah, the defense is great. The culture is there. The receivers are there. But it's Caleb Williams. If this team were quarterbacked by anybody else, you'd see, yeah, they're going to have a pretty good year. You see possibility, and you're filled with excitement, mostly because of number 18. That's just the way it goes. You want to see special. And you haven't seen this brand of that, this version of this quarterback, of this kind of quarterback, ever in Chicago. Better than Cutler. More safer bet than Mitch. Different style than Justin. But don't compare him to those guys. Soon you'll be comparing him to Burrow
and luck. And maybe one day Mahomes. Not yet. I'm not ready for that yet. I think that's a little premature. That's when it's a little bit, even that's a little bit far for me to go. It's a bridge too far. And I don't think that is yet the comp. I'm not sure I would go Anthony Edwards, but it's a fun one. Let's go back to the phone lines. Andy on the Odyssey app. Good morning, Andy. Welcome to Mullane Haw.
Thanks so much, man. I appreciate you taking my call. Listen, I just think it's time we stop letting these naysayers live rent-free in our heads. Let's be honest. We haven't had good quarterback play in Chicago since Jim McMahon. Sure, there's been some flashes of greatness along the way with some of the big names that we had coming out of the draft or in free agency, but we just need to stop letting these naysayers live rent-free in our heads. Ignore them. Focus on the positive. Let's be optimistic about the season. Just let the man do what he's going to do at the quarterback position. See what happens. Ignore the negativity. That's all I got, bud.
Thanks for the phone call. I wouldn't say Sean King is living rent-free in anybody's heads. I think he's probably parking. He's just parking. You know, you pay your hour and 15 minutes toll, whatever it is, $7. This is Sean King. We're going to move on. This is what he said yesterday. We're reacting to it today. Not going to be there very long. Probably in 16 days, like, you remember? And then Sean King will probably move on to another topic, another controversy, whatever the case may be. But I agree with you that you don't want to dwell on it too long. But it is worthwhile discussing because he did say it on this radio station yesterday, and it's something worth reacting to, especially in the wake of the understandable optimism at the end of the Bears preseason. They beat the Chiefs. They didn't play any starters. Tyson Bagent reminded us why he has improved and why they trust him as much as they do. Velus Jones made a strong statement to make this football team. You saw Tyler Scott have a very good night. You saw the defense create takeaways and have that mentality that you really have to appreciate if you're Matt Eberflus. You like everything about the Bears. I can't remember. I've been covering this team since 2003. I can't remember a preseason packed with any more optimism than this one. It was high in 2007 after the 2006 Super Bowl year. It was high in 2019 after the 2018 season. It was a summer of celebration with the anniversary and all that. But this is different because this one involves a quarterback that Sean King doubted. This is different because Caleb Williams is here and it appears that he will be for a pretty long time, very long time. And, you know, you got people like us that made Dustin cringe yesterday when we said that over the next 3 to 5 years, he's going to be the best quarterback in the NFC. I think that scared guys like Dustin. I won't speak for Dustin, though. But Dustin, you were scared by that. You didn't like that.
No, I actually agreed with you, if you remember.
I remember you agreeing, but it was reluctant. You were like, at first, very...
Well, I said, at first, without doing a little bit of research, I kind of rolled my eyes. But when you look at it...
You did roll your eyes. I think
NFC,
that's what I remember.
The NFC is not great, is not loaded with good quarterbacks compared to the AFC. If you were putting this across football, he might be 10th. But in the NFC, I get it.
224 has a good point. The only thing Mr. King did was motivate Caleb because you know he's going to hear about it if he already hasn't.
Great point.
And we already know that Caleb keeps receipts according to the Albert Breer story. So this is one of those receipts that's probably going to be on his phone at some point. The Sean King question. The Sean King opinion that he struggles really, really badly in the pocket, in time, on rhythm throws. Let's go back to the phone lines. Jake is in Ottawa. Good morning, Jake. Welcome to Mullane Haw.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call. So I just want to comment on the one caller earlier who said he looks a lot like Justin Fields. I get the athletic point. You know, actually, probably Justin Fields may be the most athletic quarterback in the league, but Justin Fields drove me crazy with all the athletic ability. I ain't ever seen a guy that athletic run into the amount of sacks he ran into. And when we first drafted Justin, I expected him to escape the pocket, you know, make those Aaron Rodgers type of throws on the run, move. He did none of that. And in Caleb's second game, rolling out to his left, you know, that throw he made, you know, that's the closest thing to Aaron Rodgers I've seen in a Bears uniform since I've been watching him for the 28 years I've been watching him. And, you know, for the people calling him, you know, Russell Wilson 2.0, Russell Wilson had, you know, four years of 4,000-plus yards passing, 5 years of 30, you know, plus touchdown passes, 40 touchdown pass year. Pretty damn good, man. And it kind of reminds me of the situation in Seattle where they drafted Russell in the third round. They still had a pretty talented team around him where we kind of lucked, I don't want to say lucked into it, but made a great move and lucked in to get a number one pick where it's almost the same situation. The guy is stacked with talent around him where I just don't see this not working out, you know, with him having the talent around him, as talented as he is. And as far as playing structure, you watch the USC, you know, He played the structure a lot more. I mean, his highlight reels are filled with him playing off structure, but that's because there's so many amazing plays he made.
Great point, Jay.
I mean, who's going to stop him playing the structure when you're making these insane plays on a daily, gamely basis?
He ran the offense at USC. He did the Lincoln Riley thing at Oklahoma, took it west, won a Heisman. He can do that. Good points. Interesting conversation. Sean King is entitled to his opinion. He has every right to be wrong, just as much as I do. Bears coverage here on The Score is there for you to download on the Odyssey app. Search 670 Score and tap follow to receive alerts on all of our Bears coverage. And if you can't get enough, you want to listen to the Take the North podcast. That's what I do with Dan Wiederer, my guy. We break down the biggest storylines ahead of the new season. New episode dropping this morning based on last night's preseason finale. Follow Take the North on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Next, it's Biggs time. We're going to talk to Brad Biggs from Kansas City.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
He was at the game last night. We'll talk to him next. It's Mullin Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Brad Biggs. Biggs time. Biggs. With Mullin Haas. Biggs time. The Biggs Report. With Brad Biggs. Biggs time. Biggsy. His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mullin Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Now joining us on the Arturo Tire Hotline is a football man for the Chicago Tribune, longtime friend of the program, Arturo, your hometown tire, Arturo.com. Morning, Brad. How you doing?
Morning, Dave. What's going on?
So you were at the game. You're in Kansas City. You're on your way home. Hope you travel safely. Brad, what was the biggest takeaway from the preseason finale in which many starters, the majority of starters, didn't play?
Yeah, I'm hard-pressed to identify a starter that was out there for the Bears yesterday, but hey, they brought it again, man. 13-point win, right? Another kind of blowout. So they're able to get good energy all the way to the bottom of the roster. Unfortunate that you see some injuries happen because you know, working on a 53-man roster projection before the game started earlier in the week, I've got Larry Borum probably making the back end of that roster when he gets on a cart with a right ankle injury in the first quarter. Not impossible for him to be good to go week one, but never a good sign when a player needs to leave the field in the cart. And a guy like Borum probably had an opportunity there when you consider some of the other health issues they've got going on the offensive line.
What are the options for him? And he's due to make $3 million this year, Brad. So I wonder what they're looking at there in terms of you always think injury settlement. I'm sorry, but when that this happens, the last game of the preseason, you wonder. And then what can you tell us about the, any update about Douglas Coleman III, who lay on the field, was carted off, and it was a scary moment.
Yeah, scary moment for Coleman. He saw almost everyone from the Bears sideline come over pretty close to the Chiefs sideline because that's where he was at the end of the play. And I would think that everything's going to be okay there only because two things. One, Matt Eberflus talked about Borum and Ian Wheeler and some other injuries that they incurred in that game first. If the Coleman thing had really shaken them and they thought something bad was going to happen, I think Eberflus probably would have led with it. I think it would have been an entirely different mood in the locker room post-game. And I don't think Andy Reid would have led his post-game comments off by saying, you know, their thoughts are with them, but they believe that everything is going to be okay. It was just really strange play. I went to talk to Chiefs wide receiver Cornell Powell about it. That's the player that Coleman was tackling, and he was kind of stunned. He said, you know, that he was really surprised that anybody was hurt on that. That he barely felt anything at all himself. But it just shows you how dangerous the sport can be at times, and it doesn't have to look like a high-speed collision in the middle of the field for it to be scary.
Brad, I thought Velus Jones showed a little bit of a burst. He had that touchdown run. He had 13 carries for 111 yards. In your mind, did that performance secure him a spot on the 53-man roster?
I don't think so. And he did well with the opportunities that he had last night, but when he's ripping off a 39-yard run with less than 30 seconds to play in the third quarter, what's jumping out to me is there's less than 30 seconds to play in the third quarter, and Travis Homer got action before Velus saw the field. Wheeler, the undrafted rookie free agent from Howard, who's got a knee injury that might not be real good for him, got action before Velus. And so I look at the order, how they were used, and I'm like, boy, this is an uphill battle for him to get a spot. Now, is there a possibility they see all that speed and they wonder, you know, if we just coach him up a little bit longer, could something good happen here? Could the light go on? I can't discount that possibility, but if they're short a little bit at offensive line, if they need to go heavy a little bit at defensive line, they're going to have to pull from another position somewhere, and it could be running back, or it could prevent them from going heavy at running back. Because I think Homer makes this team because he's a core special teams player. He's one of the better special teams players a year ago. I think everybody agrees Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson make this team. If they keep Kari Blasingame, the fullback, you know, if Jones is still in the mix and you're counting him as a running back, all of a sudden you've got six running backs unless you're doing something different with one of those other guys.
Why does the Bears punt return continue to be a play that has so much suspense? DeAndre Carter last night, I mean, that was kind of a clumsy play. I know what happened. I saw it unfold, but still, they seem to be ending the preseason the way they began it with no certainty at that spot.
Well, I think DeAndre Carter is going to be the punt returner to begin the season, and he's got a track record for doing it. Yeah, the one play last night didn't look good. Probably not a legal move by the Chiefs there as Carter got pushed back into the ball, but unless they call it, it's legal, right? And I expressed that to Carter when I talked to him after the game, and he agreed with me. Did have a 16-yard return with his other opportunity. He's far more experienced than some of their other options that they've looked at here recently. Dante Pettis didn't play. He was hurt a little bit, missed some time in practice earlier this week. Pettis is not as dynamic as Carter as a punt returner. I think they've got faith in Carter's ability to secure the football on the catch, that's not going to be an issue. I think it's Carter, and I feel relatively confident that he'll be the punt returner.
What was your impression of Tyson Bagent? I thought the two series that he had, he just solidified his spot as a number two guy, and I thought that it was interesting they decided to pull him after that. He had a very productive preseason. Brad, are you surprised?
No, I think you were curious where he would be, how he could take a step forward, and Tyson played well against backups for the Chiefs. You'd expect him to go out and have a solid outing, and so he's been kind of pole to pole, right? Opening of camp to here, end of preseason. I think he's been the number two, and there really hasn't been a whole lot of question about it. They just hope that if he's needed this year, it's for small appearances. The hope is that Caleb Williams can stay healthy. How about this, Dave? Bears get through four preseason games, only two sacks allowed. That's not a statistic I'm going to put a whole lot of stock into, pointing toward the regular season, but it is notable to get through four games only allowing two sacks.
What do you attribute that to? I almost wonder if it's connected to, again, you don't want to overreact to anything in preseason. The Bears are moving the pocket more noticeably than they have in recent years. That's been something about the Waldron offense that I think has already become something that, that looks familiar. I don't want to overreact to it because it is preseason, but when you move the pocket, you do reduce the chance of being sacked.
Yeah, well, you've seen that in the past because they like the outside zone. I think they're doing a better job of maybe marrying the concepts together and mirroring some of these things together. And that's possibly some of it. You know, I don't know exactly what you would attribute it to, but it's a positive, and I thought it was notable. Please don't get, and not you, listeners, please don't get deep in the weeds on stats coming out of preseason football, whether it be one game, three games, or four games. But I was looking at it last night, and I'm like, wow. So I wouldn't have guessed that. Only two sacks allowed. So I thought it was notable.
Brad, we won't get too deep in the weeds, but on the tape, I think you're going to see with people that watch the games closely, especially last night, some defensive backs whose names aren't that familiar. Guys like Reddy Stewart, guys like Adrian Colbert, they do make plays. I wonder, of all of the backup defensive backs, of all the guys that supply you the depth, which I think they enjoy, which ones do you think are guys we're going to see again or hear from again? Blackwell, Stewart, Colbert, Terrell Smith. These are backup guys who've had good preseasons.
Yeah, they've got a lot of depth at cornerback. In a perfect world, they've got a cornerback for defensive tackle trade waiting for him out there somewhere. I don't know where it is, and people don't give away quality defensive tackles for cheap. But I think Terrell Smith is clearly the first guy that'll come off the bench on the outside if something happens to Jalen Johnson or Tyreek Stevenson. I think Blackwell makes the team, probably the backup nickel, helps him on special teams. I think Jalen Jones, who didn't play last night, makes the team because he's got a lot of versatility. He can play outside. He can cover the slot. He really helps him out on special teams. He's kind of almost a little bit of a Swiss Army knife back there, and he's had a good camp. Reddy Stewart did everything he could. Good camp, running with the first team for a solid week. It's at nickel when Kyler Gordon missed 2.5-3 weeks, whatever it was, making some plays in training camp, and then two interceptions in the game last night. He's done everything he can. I don't know how you find a spot for him, though. I really don't. I think they'd love to have him on the practice squad. Great job of identifying him coming out of Troy. A little bit undersized might be one reason. You know, the measurables weren't great when you, if you're looking at a, you know, stack of 30, 40 names at the cornerback position in this past draft, measurables weren't helping Reddy Stewart out probably, but boy, on the field, he's helped himself out. It's been impressive. He's enjoyable to talk to, and we'll have to see. Yeah, maybe they find a way, but I had him keeping six cornerbacks, and Reddy was the kind of the last man out at number seven. Perhaps they go about it a different way.
Daniel Hardy flashed again at times. Austin Booker certainly had a nice night. Is there anybody who played his way either onto or off of the roster last night?
Yeah, I don't know about it. I mean, other than injuries with the guy we talked about in Borum, I don't know that anybody did any, you know, Noah Sewell missed a tackle in the open field. You saw that and you're like, boy, not good. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he makes the team. Hmm. Noah Sewell, fifth round pick a year ago, missed a lot of training camp. You know what? He missed a lot of training camp last summer as well. And I think Carl Jones Jr. has been as impressive as any undrafted rookie, and that would include Reddy Stewart since camp opened. You talk to coaches about Carl Jones Jr., the linebacker, and they talk about speed, and he's explosive, and he just kind of keeps showing up. And I was watching him on kickoff coverage last night, or punt, and both. He's just getting downfield, you know? So if Noah Sewell's draft status doesn't carry him far enough, Carl Jones could maybe claim the final spot at linebacker if they go with six. If they keep six, the Carl Jones Jr. debate with Noah Sewell would be interesting. In my roster projection, I had Sewell making it. I'm like, I don't know if they're ready to give up on him, but Carl Jones Jr. helped himself out with the pretty good preseason as well.
Brad, before we let you go, so this process has to be completed by Tuesday when they pare down the rosters.
3 o'clock.
Three o'clock on Tuesday. When will it begin? Because obviously there are going to be teams all around the league like the Bears who might be looking at the discard pile for certain positions. And I wonder, does that process begin as early as today, over the weekend, or will they wait until the last moment?
I think the vast majority of this is completed on Tuesday. You know, the Bears have got practice Saturday. They've got a walkthrough Sunday and Monday. They've got further opportunities to evaluate guys. They've got to check out health situations with some of these guys and see where they're at. The only names that you could potentially see early is, sometimes teams want to do a solid to veterans. If a veteran is definitely going to be released, sometimes they'll do that a little bit earlier. Now, that a little bit earlier might mean 8 a.m. on Tuesday. Hey, we'll get you through first here. or it could mean over the weekend or Monday. But I don't know that you're going to see a whole lot of movement by the Bears before Tuesday.
Great stuff, Brad. Safe travels home.
Have a great weekend, buddy.
Brad Biggs, football man for the Chicago Tribune, talking to us from Kansas City after last night's Bears victory over the Chiefs to finish the preseason 4-0. And I know one texter says the record doesn't matter. If they were 0-4, you would care. They're 4-0. I mean, it doesn't mean anything to week one, but they are 4-0. We do keep score here, and it has been a productive preseason for the Chicago Bears. When we come back, we're not going to talk about Sean King anymore, but there was another ex-NFL quarterback who had something to say about Caleb Williams, and I think you want to hear that too. It's Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
The team that I go against every single day is the Chicago Bears defense. And so, you know, they've done a great job showing me a bunch of different looks, a bunch of different coverages and fronts and blitzes and all these other things. And so, you know, faking pressures and bringing it the other way, faking pressures and just fully dropping out and things like that. So it's been great and getting these reps with these guys for, I would say it's been around 3 months total, 4 months total. Getting rest with these guys has been awesome.
Welcome back. It's Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670. The Score, Mully off today. That was Caleb Williams. Thank you, Fox, for that sideline interview from last night's game. Bears beat the Chiefs, finished the preseason 4-0. Everything's about Caleb Williams. He didn't play last night. Everything still is about Caleb Williams this preseason. A lot of conversation, a lot of opinions out there, both in Chicago and around the league. And that includes the next guy we're going to hear from. He played quarterback for a long time in Green Bay. No, not Aaron Rodgers. He's in New York now. But Brett Favre had plenty to say. This is what he had to say about Caleb Williams to Zach Gelb.
Caleb Williams, I don't know him. Didn't see a lot of his games. But what I saw, the guy, you can't argue, he's a tremendous talent. And in some respects, you have to, maybe I'm dating myself, but he reminds me a little bit of Jeff George, if that brings a bell with you. And now, Jeff was a few years ahead of me, but when he came out, he had all the tools and had a tremendous arm, highly regarded. And like a lot of guys that get drafted early, sometimes it's not the right situation for you, but you never know, nor do you have an option. You know, the only one that I think chose to not play for the team that drafted him in the first round was John Elway. So you kind of you play the hand that you dealt. So Chicago is struggling. I don't think anyone can argue with that. But Caleb has a lot of weapons that a lot of guys don't have that they wish they had. And I think the most important, if I would call it intangible, maybe that he's going to need, I think, this year more than anything is. You know, he's got a great arm. He can move around. He can make all the throws. But he's going to have to be a solid leader. They're going to have to rely on him. And there's going to be a lot of ups and downs, maybe more so than he had in college. So how he handles that will maybe determine how good and how long he plays long after.
Brett Favre on the Infinity Sports Network talking about Caleb Williams. I know he meant that as a compliment. I think he meant it as a compliment. But comparing Caleb Williams to Jeff George is not a compliment. And I'm a Jeff George guy. I like Jeff George. I liked him as a Bear. Molly makes fun of me because we were friends and saw him at the mall and all those things. I played against him in high school and college. And I like Jeff George. But he's probably not the guy I would go to compare Caleb Williams to. So Brett Favre meant well, but I don't think that's a good comp. At least he didn't go full Sean King and question everything, you know, about whether or not he can throw. But I think it's interesting to see the range of opinions. And also just it reinforces what we know about this preseason. The Bears are relevant again. And with that relevance comes scrutiny, comes opinions. It comes like that is going to be one of the it teams in the league. People want to talk about Caleb Williams. They think he's going to have that kind of impact on the NFL. And I agree with that. So, yes, texters don't like hearing from Brett Favre. Second day in a row, we've had a segment devoted to a former Packer quarterback. Aaron Rodgers yesterday, Brett Favre today. It's interesting stuff. I don't agree with Brett Favre, but he does know football. I don't know if I agree with that comp, though. Let's hope not. Let's hope that Caleb Williams is not a guy that is well-traveled and plays for four different teams and has a gunslinger mentality. Let's hope that he is the quarterback that we have seen in 43 snaps of the preseason and the Bears expect him to be. All right, we're going to shift gears. It's time to talk Cubs. Fridays at 8 means it's time to talk to Ron Coomer. He joins us next on Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
And so, they've done a great job showing me a bunch of different looks, a bunch of different coverages and fronts and blitzes and all these other things. And so, faking pressures and bringing it the other way, faking pressures and just fully dropping out and things like that. So it's been great and getting these reps with these guys for, I would say it's been around 3 months total, 4 months total, getting reps with these guys. It's been awesome.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mully off today. That was Caleb Williams. Thank you, Fox, for that sideline interview from last night's game. Bears beat the Chiefs, finished the preseason 4-0. Everything's about Caleb Williams. He didn't play last night. Everything still is about Caleb Williams this preseason. A lot of conversation, a lot of opinions out there, both in Chicago and around the league. And that includes the next guy we're going to hear from. He played quarterback for a long time in Green Bay. No, not Aaron Rodgers. He's in New York now. But Brett Favre had plenty to say. This is what he had to say about Caleb Williams to Zach Gelb.
Caleb Williams, I don't know him. Didn't see a lot of his games. But what I saw, the guy, you can't argue. He's a tremendous talent. And in some respects, you have to – maybe I'm dating myself, but he reminds me a little bit of Jeff George, if that brings a bell with you. Now, Jeff was a few years ahead of me, but when he came out, he had all the tools and had a tremendous arm, highly regarded. And like a lot of guys that get drafted early, sometimes it's not the right situation for you, but you never know, nor do you have an option. You know, the only one that I think chose to not play for the team that drafted him in the first round was John Elway. So you kind of you play the hand that you're dealt. So Chicago is struggling. I don't think anyone can argue with that. But Caleb has a lot of weapons that a lot of guys don't have that they wish they had. And I think the most important, if I would call it intangible, maybe, that he's going to need, I think, this year more than anything is, you know, he's got a great arm. He can move around. He can make all the throws. But he's going to have to be a solid leader. They're going to have to rely on him. And there's going to be a lot of ups and downs, maybe more so than he had in college. So how he handles that will maybe determine how good and how long he plays long after.
Brett Favre on the Infinity Sports Network talking about Caleb Williams. I know he meant that as a compliment. I think he meant it as a compliment. But comparing Caleb Williams to Jeff George is not a compliment. And I'm a Jeff George guy. I like Jeff George. I liked him as a Bear. Mully makes fun of me because we were friends and saw him at the mall and all those things. I played against him in high school and college. And I like Jeff George. But he's probably not the guy I would go to compare Caleb Williams to. So Brett Favre meant well, but I don't think that's a good comp. At least he didn't go full Sean King and question everything, you know, about whether or not he can throw. But I think it's interesting to see the range of opinions. And also just it reinforces what we know about this preseason. The Bears are relevant again. And with that relevance comes scrutiny, comes opinions. It comes like that is going to be one of the it teams in the league. People want to talk about Caleb Williams. They think he's going to have that kind of impact on the NFL. And I agree with that. So, yes, texters don't like hearing from Brett Favre. Second day in a row, we've had a segment devoted to a former Packer quarterback. Aaron Rodgers yesterday, Brett Favre today. It's interesting stuff. I don't agree with Brett Favre, but he does know football. I don't know if I agree with that comp, though. Let's hope not. Let's hope that Caleb Williams is not a guy that is well-traveled and plays for four different teams and has a gunslinger mentality. Let's hope that he is the quarterback that we have seen in 43 snaps of the preseason and the Bears expect him to be. All right, we're going to shift gears. It's time to talk Cubs. Fridays at 8 means it's time to talk to Ron Coomer. He joins us next on Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.